Jim Merrill, Bernstein Shore Group, great partner out there, great friend, but also one of our political analysts and all-stars, and he's managed some of these presidential campaigns. Knows a little bit about the primary here, a lot. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jack. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, good to be good to have you here. I want to come back to this New York Times Siena College poll, which talks about Donald Trump would beat Joe Biden if the election were today in many of the key swing states, despite all the legal distractions, but despite all the Trump Biden stuff, he would beat Joe Biden. I don't think that, and this is the New York Times, I don't think this is an insignificant poll, which can't really make the morning of the political director inside the White House, where 70% or only 23% of those polled think the country's on the right path. Almost 70-something percent feel that we're on the wrong path. What are your thoughts on this poll?
I mean, listen, it's a bombshell a year out, right? I mean, it certainly sets off red alerts for Democrats around the country and in the White House. We can say it's a year out and the Democratic voters aren't paying attention right now, but the truth is it shows significant Trump leads in battleground states where Biden would be expected to do well. But also, when you look at the crosstabs and you get into some of the demographics, you see the erosion of Biden's vote share among black voters, the erosion of Biden's vote share among Latino voters, and his erosion of vote share among young voters, typically where Democrats have done very well. And so I think what's happening is it's a combination of people continue to feel this tough economy. They feel inflation hitting their pocketbook. They see the border. They're concerned about that. It's out of control. Undocumented crossings are at an all-time high. And, you know, you see bipartisan numbers of people who look at Biden and see someone who's about to turn 81, and they think he's too old for the job. And so, you know, whether, you know, folks claim that's ageism or not, the reality is Republicans, Democrats, and independents by a significant margin are concerned about him over this next year, let alone another 4 years in office. And so right now, those are a lot of wins in his face as he ramps up his reelect.
And who would have thought? Do you think the DNC and Joe Biden really messed up when it comes to blowing off and want to take away our primary? And you got Congressman Phillips from Minnesota enjoying being on the ballot here. Do you think this is going to go back to politically bite them or not?
Sure, I do. I think it was a huge mistake. It was an unforced error. And, it's cronyism, right? I mean, you know, I get it. South Carolina a couple years ago is where Biden began to make his comeback. And New Hampshire's never been very favorable to Joe Biden's prior presidential campaigns, in the primary at least. And so, upending that tradition, at least trying to, is a problem, for them. Because now you've got Dean Phillips up here. He's going to have a free run of the place. And it's the expectation game, as you know, is critical. So, you know, I saw someone say the other day, well, we're running a write-in campaign for Biden. We're the underdogs. You're the leader of the free world and you're representing the president. He should win going away here. If he doesn't come January, it's a big problem.
Iowa. How important is what happens in Iowa in the caucus to our primary here? Right after. Usually it doesn't transfer. What about this time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know, Jack. Maybe you'll have President Huckabee or President Santorum on after me to weigh in on that. But, you know, the truth is
I just got that.
Yeah. Listen, it's a great get for the DeSantis campaign in Iowa. Make no mistake, Governor Reynolds is widely regarded as a great operation out there. The fact that she's endorsing early is interesting because you typically haven't seen that from Iowa governors in years past. But the truth is, I think in this case, what happens in Iowa will largely stay in Iowa because we've seen time and again over the years that, events on the ground there don't necessarily translate here. Now, that's not to say it's not a good thing for the DeSantis campaign. It obviously is. And as he, among others, courts Governor Sununu, who would be an equally significant get for any campaign here in New Hampshire, there's obviously a relationship between the two governors. And so that's probably a good thing for DeSantis, but kind of on a large scale, the DeSantis campaign clearly a few months ago began to focus on Iowa more than New Hampshire. You saw them draw down a little bit here, and that's opened up an opportunity for Nikki Haley, which she has seized in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So, even if DeSantis surprises in Iowa, you know, I don't know, you know, where he stands on the ground here to really take advantage of that. So it's a good thing for the campaign, but I'm not prepared to overstate it for New Hampshire. I don't think it means much here.
And if you had to say, does Governor Sununu fully jump in? He recently hosted Ron DeSantis for the day, Nikki Haley. Does he jump in big time or just kind of a toe in the water?
I think, you know, look, I think our governor has, you know, all the energy to jump in all the way when he's ready to do so. It'll be a great get for, you know, whatever campaign earns his support. So I do think at some point he'll get in big, and, you know, and he'll be a great cheerleader and supporter, not only here in New Hampshire, but nationally. So, you know, we have to wait and see on that. But I think that domino falling in Iowa is a big one. And I'm sure other governors around the country are watching closely.
Before I let you go, Jim Merrill, Bernstein Shore Group, one of our great partners and sponsors out there. Manchester, we have local elections tomorrow. Schools will be called. A lot of local elections everywhere around the state, including the Manchester, the state's largest city mayoral election. Alderman Kavanaugh, Jay Rue. I hear it's tight. I have no idea. I'm not on the ground there. I'm not saying you are, but you know more about it than me. I guess the question is, I hear that they're both nice people. They're being received well. They've had a civil discussion on the major issues. We know there's a lot of them in Manchester, including the homelessness and some other things. I guess the question is, I always think in the last several elections, you know, since Ted Gatzis, two-term mayor of Joyce Craig, that the Democrats might be better organized to get the vote out on the ground in those wards. But what do you see tomorrow in that mayoral race, Jim?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and you're right. I've born in Manchester. I've lived here for over 22 years, and so I've kind of had a front row seat to a lot of these races in the last two decades. And, you know, I've been struck by the positivity of this race, not in the mail. The mail you get is negative. But as between the two men running, Kevin Kavanaugh and Jay Rue, I think they've been very cordial with each other. They've had great exchanges of ideas at various forums. I think that's been a good thing for the city, because I think, you know, there's negative impressions that come out of the city that folks around the state see. But for living here, there's also a lot of good. There are a lot of challenges. So, you know, I mean, Kevin Kavanaugh is universally liked, and I think is someone who, you know, would be a continuation of Mayor Craig's administration. And he's run like that almost as an incumbent. Jay Rue has come in with just a lot of great energy, great ideas. Clearly running is like, you know, the underdog. And but it's been interesting to see. I've never seen someone enjoy knocking on doors more than Jay Rue. It's been extraordinary to watch him go neighborhood to neighborhood to try and earn the vote, one vote at a time. Mm-hmm. And so it's really an interesting insider-outsider dynamic and, you know, and truly a change election. And so I think, you know, voters here tomorrow have a big decision about, you know, where we are as a city and what they want to see, you know, change or, you know, kind of a continuation. And it's pretty stark. But we're fortunate. We have two good people. I've been struck by Jay's energy and his ideas. And so, you know, I think that gives the impression of momentum heading down the stretch here for sure.
All right. Jim Merrill, thank you very much. Good stuff. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Jack. Thanks.